Today is the 20th Sunday after Pentecost. And these are the announcements. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. There is benediction of the Blessed Sacrament this evening at 6 p.m. All Souls Day envelopes will be distributed by the ushers after Holy Communion today. Please fill them out and return them by November 1st. All Saints' Day. There will be the adult catechism class this Tuesday, October 17th, at 5:30 p.m. It will be in the hall and online. And catechism classes will be held this coming Saturday, October 21st, after the 8:30 a.m. Mass. There are some wonderful feast days this week because of the great saints that our God has produced for us. We will talk about today's feast in a moment, St. Teresa of Avila. Happy feast day to our sisters. So, tomorrow is the feast of St. Hedwig and St. Gerard Majella, great saints. Tuesday, the 17th, feast of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, to whom our Lord revealed all of his Sacred Heart devotion to that we have now. We owe her a lot. Wednesday, feast of St. Luke, the evangelist. Thursday is the feast, October 19th, feast of St. Peter of Alcantara. Friday, October 20th, St. John Cancius. And on Saturday is the commemorations of St. Hilarion and St. Ursula and companions. So we know that we have heard a great deal about St. Teresa of Avila. We will mention her again today, but first we just thought, instead, since we have heard so much about her, thought we would just give you some things that she had to say. Maxims of St. Teresa of Avila. When you are with many people, always say little. Be modest in all you do and in all your intercourse with others. Never be overly persistent, especially about things of little moment. Speak to everyone with restrained cheerfulness. Isn't that beautiful? Never make a mockery of anything. Never reprove anyone save discreetly, humbly, and with a sense of your own shame. Fall in with the mood of the person to whom you are speaking. Be happy with those who are happy, and sad with those who are sad. In a word, be all things to all men, so that you may gain all men. Never speak without thinking well of what you are going to say, and commending it earnestly to our Lord, lest you say anything displeasing to him. Never speak of anything concerning yourself which is worthy of praise, such as your learning, your virtues, your descent, unless with the hope that some profit will come of it. If you do so speak, Let it be with humility and the remembrance that these are gifts from the hand of God. Never exaggerate, but express your feelings with moderation. Always introduce spiritual topics into all your talks and conversations. And this way you will avoid idle words and backbiting. Never affirm anything unless you are sure it is true. Never thrust yourself forward and give your opinion about anything unless you are asked for it or charity requires that you should give it. We can go on and on, but we think we'll stop there because we have a lot to say today. We know you have heard this before, but it's impressive that Saint Teresa saw once in a crowd a woman who was young and beautiful and of high estate. She was an important person, and Saint Teresa was given the vision of her soul, and it was so terrible that St. Teresa fainted. It was so frightening. And she described it later to her sisters. We won't describe it for you now. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. Brethren, see to it that you walk with care, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not become foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, for in that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. Be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for today's Mass is taken from the account according to St. John, chapter 4, verses 46 to 53. At that time, there was a certain royal official whose son was lying sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come from Judea into Galilee, he went to him and besought him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Jesus therefore said to him, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you do not believe." The royal official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go thy way, thy son lives." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and departed. But even as he was now going down, his servants met him and brought word saying that his son lived. He asked of them, therefore, the hour in which he had got better. And they told him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, The fever left him. The father knew then that it was at that very hour in which Jesus had said to him, "Thy son lives," and he himself believed, and his whole household. Thus far are the words of today's Holy Gospel. First thing is this. I have to make sure we tell you this before we say anything else, to make sure that we say it because our Father Superior told us to say this. And we try to be obedient. So he wants everyone to be reminded of the obligation to assist at Mass on Sunday. And obviously, if you have a good reason that you cannot come to Mass, then you are safe. Like, for instance, if the earth opens up and swallows you, that's the only one that we can think of at the moment. But there are some others, probably. And also, this is especially what he wanted mentioned. You have to be present at the Mass for the three principal parts of the Mass. And those are the offertory, the consecration, and the communion of the priest. And if you miss one of those, then you have not attended Mass. That's okay during the week, but on Sunday you have a serious obligation to be here at those three parts of the Mass. We repeat, if you miss one of them, you did not attend Mass. So if you walk out after the sermon and you miss the offertory, you did not attend Mass that day. We presume you understand that. The offertory takes place right after the credo. Immediately the offertory takes place. And that's the first principal part of the Mass. You must be in here paying attention to some extent at least to what is happening. And then you can say that you assisted at Mass. Otherwise, you did not. So that is the most important thing that we have to say because we were told to say that. Now, the offertory is essential. In a way, it is the most important part of the Mass. And we will explain that. Obviously, the consecration is important. That's when God comes down. But let's talk about the offertory for a minute. The first thing that the priest does after the credo is he kisses the altar, which is Christ, and then he turns to you and he says, "Dominus vobiscum." And that is considered because the priest just kissed Christ. The altar represents Christ. And that is considered to have been Christ who has kissed you. The priest kisses the altar, which is Christ, and then he turns as Christ's other person here. Now, the priest is Christ. We see it at the consecration. He says, "This is my body." So the priest is Christ at Mass. He turns to you and he says, "Dominus vobiscum." The Lord be with you. And he has been Christ and he has given you a kiss. And he turns back around and he takes the host, the paten with the host, which will be very soon God himself. And he offers it up. And if you are to receive the graces that you desire, that you want, that you need, you must be attentive at that moment, because this is when Christ gives himself to his Father at the very beginning, and we must place ourselves there to receive the graces that God wants us to have. We must put them there with Christ himself, because we want to be united with Christ during the Mass, don't we? We want to be united with Christ on the cross. And that's how we do it. We'll place ourselves on the paten and all of our needs and desires, our prayers. Put our prayers there on the paten with Christ. And the priest offers this just as if it had already been consecrated. He treats it as if this is the Son of God, because he is close at hand. And this is what would please God, is to offer up. It's the beginning of the consecration. It's the beginning of the death of Christ. And then what does he do with it after he offers it to God the Father? He makes, comes down, and he makes a sign of the cross on the altar, and then he puts the host right there on that cross to show that this is Christ. This is the beginning of the death of Christ right here. This is the beginning of the consecration. He makes the sign of the cross and he puts it right there on the cross. Very important. If we are not on the paten with the host, with our prayers, we miss out. There are many other things to keep in mind at this time, that we want to be like the good thief, desiring to be with our Lord in paradise, so to speak. We want to be, have the same intentions, the same attention, attentiveness to what is happening, as these saints were, who were there at the foot of the cross, St. Mary Magdalene, St. John the Apostle, and the other saints who were there. There were other saints, and especially our Blessed Mother, who co-redeemed us, because she especially had the desire to be in place of her Son, to take his place, or at least to be crucified with him. We must have this desire, brethren, to suffer with Christ. This is one of the greatest mysteries, as you know, one of the greatest mysteries in the universe for all eternity. The Holy Sacrifice, the Mass, and that which is a part of it, the Incarnation. It's right next to the mystery of the Blessed Trinity. Even in heaven, we will not fully understand nor appreciate it, even though we can see through the eyes of the Son of God, because this is our glory, this is our salvation, that we are united with this man, Jesus Christ, who is not only a man, but he is also God. And our union with him is so close that it is through his eyes in heaven that we see God. We are so much a part of him that his vision is ours. Imagine what that must be. But we are united with him now because we are part of his mystical body. When we are baptized, we become one with Christ. In addition, as part of the sanctifying grace that we receive from the Holy Ghost, we are one with the Son of God. And so, when the consecration takes place, the act of the death of Christ, the act of his offering to his Father, is renewed. And so he comes down from heaven, and we see, so to speak, what is taking place in heaven eternally, forever. The Son of God offering himself, his love, his heart, the desires of his heart, the thoughts of his heart, as it says in the Sacred Scripture, the thoughts of his heart. He offers them to his Father forever. And we are present here because heaven comes down on earth during the Mass, and we are present for that, at least for a short time. Pay close attention if you want to receive the graces that you desire. And the last of the three principal parts is the reception of Holy Communion by the priest. Of course, you share in that by your own reception, but the point is, you have to be here for that moment, because that is significant. The priest receiving the Son of God in himself. That's the, so to speak, the end of the Mass. The priest has received the sacrifice. This is so important because this is the purpose of creation, brethren. It's the purpose of the universe, the Mass, the creation of the Son of God in the flesh and his eternal, so to speak, offering of himself to his Father. This is why creation took place. And so all of the sacrifices from the beginning of time to for all eternity, all of them, because there are many other sacrifices which point to the one important sacrifice, the death of the Son of God. All of the other sacrifices, whether they be and desired by God and intended, like the sacrifice of Adam and Eve in the garden, because they had to sacrifice also. It was the first sacrifice. After that of the angels, we won't talk about that right now. That was the first sacrifice to Adam and Eve, and they refused. But we see that right after that, we see Cain and Abel offering sacrifice, because that is the essence of religion. It is what God told us to do. That's why they were doing it, Cain and Abel. And because that was what God instructed them in. But also, all of the sacrifices that God does not intend, all of them point to the cross. Any kind of religion that does not have a sacrifice is no religion at all. Sacrifice is what God desires of us, to give Him something. What is the most important sacrifice apart from the sacrifice of Christ, which we are united to, hopefully, all the time? It is the sacrifice of our love. The greatest of all the commandments, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, etc. Greatest commandment, because we are making a sacrifice. We're offering ourselves, our heart, our mind, our love. And hopefully we unite it to that of Christ, and then it has infinite value. But even the sacrilegious sacrifices are all pointing to this, because they're simply imitating this. Sinfully, they are doing it, but it points to the true sacrifice. They are giving to Satan what he wants. He's trying to take God's place. And there are some religions that don't have any sacrifice. The Protestants do not have a sacrifice. It is not a true religion. Now, we have so many things to say to you. This Sunday is a reminder that our end is near. This time of the year, even now, 20th Sunday, we still have at least 4 Sundays left. Every year after this Sunday, sometimes as many as 8 Sundays left. But this Sunday is one of the Sundays towards the end of the year, which means towards the end of the world, because this part of the year takes us to the end of the world, the end of time. It reminds us that the world is going to end. Maybe sooner than we think, especially since, as St. Paul and the Holy Ghost say, the times are so evil. Was St. Paul thinking of our time? Did he see us? And so this Sunday takes us to the end of time, and it reminds us to be prepared, at least for our own judgment. And how frightening that is, that we will be judged soon. We must answer for every single thought and word of our lives. Very frightening. It even made the saints tremble. The saints how frightened we should be. That we must answer for everything. They said, how frightening, what a frightening thing it is to fall into the hands of the living God. And that's what happens to us. This Mass is all about this. And some of the Mass is Jewish, meaning that the Jews, the chosen people, are praying some of these prayers. And some of them are from the Gentiles. The reason for that is at the end of time, there will be a great conversion of the Jews. And, of course, we will all be judged at once. The Gentiles and the Jews. This pointing once again, this Mass, to the end of time, into the conversion of the Jewish nation, many of them, at least. We may have mentioned to you, and you may have known already about the movement in Israel. There is a movement in Israel to become Christian. Now, we know that's not necessarily Catholic, but it's still an astounding thing. There are many of them. Maybe some of them are becoming Catholic. Makes us wonder how close we are to the end, that this movement has some momentum. So, brethren, this man, this ruler, who was part of Herod's court, he was probably a soldier, possibly a Gentile, we're not certain. But despite his lack of faith, he did believe, and especially when our Lord said that his son was healed. Our Lord and Savior was so good to him. It's a beautiful thing. He was good to everyone, even to his enemies, Son of God. And it is something that makes his overflowing mercy constant throughout the history of the world. And especially now, here we are, what great mercy God has poured out on you and me. But it makes people tend to forget that he is not always merciful, and he has no obligation to save us if we fall into sin. He has no obligation to bring us back, and so many people sin freely. They forget, because God is so good, they forget that we can still be lost despite his infinite goodness, infinite mercy, and so we tend to live lives of tepidity and to act as if we will not be required to answer for all that we have done. Big mistake, brethren. The end is near. Don't forget. Right now, we are told to redeem our time, meaning that we can make up for what we have done. At any moment, we can make a conversion. just like the good thief. If we pray fervently, as if our salvation depended on it, right now, if we pray fervently, we can turn our lives around. Look at what happened to the good thief. What great hope that he gives us. In an hour or two, he became a saint. Is that not astounding? And we can't do the same? Cannot this man be us? Given all that we have, all that we have been given, all that we have been offered, and all that we know, how much we know that he did not have at his disposal. We have our faith in a moment if we pray often with all of our heart, as if our salvation depended on this prayer. Keep this in mind. Our salvation depends on our prayers. Fervent, loving, burning desire. This is what we depend on. And we have the Blessed Sacrament. How many people have the Blessed Sacrament as we do? How many? Fewer and fewer. We don't know for certain that the Novus Ordo is a valid Mass, since it was completely fabricated. In many ways, it does not resemble this true Mass at all. If you go to the Novus Ordo, you think you are in a different religion. For the most part, we're not certain that that Mass is valid. Keep that in mind. So how many people have what we have, the Blessed Sacrament? We congratulate you on this important day. And we pray for you. God has called you, and you have responded generously, and we pray that you continue to respond generously as you already have. Give all of your heart to God whenever you can, and he will make a saint of you. It has happened many times. You have our Lord and Savior here present to make you like himself. This is what he desires. All of your heart, all of your strength, all of your soul. That's what he desires. He will come to you today and pour out his grace in you. Be generous with our Lord. And if you are, he will give you everything you need to be not only a saint, but if you are blessed, you may be given the grace to be a martyr. We pray for that. We pray for that for our people. There are some stories we want to tell you about because you will be receiving our Lord and Savior in the Blessed Sacrament today. And so we want you to know how important it is that you give yourself completely to Him, and that you are devoted to our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. There was a crisis in Leningrad. This is in 1921, when the communists had taken over in Russia. And the word came down that they were going to come to this church, and people did not know what would happen, but there were some children who wanted to protect the Blessed Sacrament. And so they went to the church and they stayed at the altar. There were three boys and a girl, and they stayed right there at the altar all night long to protect the Blessed Sacrament. And when morning came, the soldiers came, and they told them to leave, and they refused. And so they shot the children. And one of them was taken back, carried back to his home after he was shot. He was still alive. And he said this to his family before he died. He said he had seen Christ with outstretched hands. And he was blessing them. And the boy died with his face aglow. We still have time for the other story we wanted you to know. On February 27th, 1945, the German city of Mainz suffered one of the heaviest air raids in the war. In the convent of Perpetual Adoration, when the sirens sounded, the Mother Superior carried the Blessed Sacrament to the underground shelter, which had a special altar and tabernacle. On this occasion, the shelter was hit almost immediately, and it was decided to move into a cellar adjoining. There, the superior, with the ciborium in one hand and the benediction pyx in the other, stood erect while the community of 40 sisters knelt around her in a circle. As the bombs fell, the walls were shaken, flames encircled the building, and at 9 p.m., the walls collapsed. The next morning, the entire community was found in the shelter, all dead, in a kneeling position, with their arms stretched out in prayer. The ciborium and the pyx were intact, but they were empty. The nuns had received the hosts as their viaticum from the hands of their mother. The caretaker and his wife and four laywomen were with the victims. The nuns were afterwards buried together in the garden. In a circle with the Reverend Mother in the middle. We hope that you are given graces similar to these. May God bless you.